Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Wardell Putz and Phoenix here for This Is It on Solar Records Radio. What's happening, my brother?
Absolutely. Everything, my friend. Everything. Like they say, all good in the hood.
All good in the hood. There you go. Hey, everybody around the world. What's happening, world? Hope everybody's good and God's been good to you and you've been faithful because He is. And I just want to also make sure I say, you know, our deepest condolences to Dion, the bass player that we just lost yesterday. Rest in peace, man. And thank you for your contribution to the music industry. We appreciate you very much and appreciate what you gave us, man. God, it's just unbelievable. He's 1 year older than me. And now he's gone. It's just unbelievable. It's been so much death in since 2020. It's just unbelievable, man. It's hard to now. This is almost 2 years of people just dying like crazy, man. And I hope we never get used to this. You know, to the point where we get numb to it, people die. We can't. This is crazy.
Well, Jesus certainly, you know, it's interesting you say that because Jesus wasn't used to it, Son of Man. If he wasn't used to it and he had the ability to resurrect and he cried, that should humble us all. Death is unnatural, but we're sold the dream that it's natural. It is not. If the Son of Man cried, it is the most unnatural thing to do is say goodbye to someone you love. We were made to live forever. Something to marinate on. But anyway.
Right. And also, you know, him and us watching people who lose loved ones and just watching them go through that pain of separation and, you know, and just the unknown of how are we going to live without this person's gone. And like I was just talking to someone, with my wife, and when her ex-husband's mother died, the family died pretty much because she was the heart of the family.
Matriarch. She was the matriarch.
Yeah. And she brought everybody together. And so, but when she passed away, it just ended. It's like, whoa, you know, so we are connected, you know, to each other individuals. And it's so sad, man. I'm looking at this picture right now and I just feel so bad. I feel so bad because, you know, we used to talk a lot. He would call and get on the phone with Gayla and talk to her, and, you know, with his ideas and coming here in Texas, and he was working on doing some new, some different kind of formats and stuff in the music. So it was just really sad, man, because he still had dreams and hopes. And
dream
now,
bird, man.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so I just wanted to make sure that we, you know, we acknowledged the brother for, you know, because he was definitely a beautiful friend to have. And you could just see it if you look on Facebook, you see all the people talking about him. There was something special about him. So, but anyway, guys, so we're going to move on to This Is It, starring Phoenix.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And so, Phoenix, so why don't you kind of, you know, give us an idea of what it is that we're chopping it up about today?
Well, to segue and to and still be connected to the memorial of that dear brother, you know, we're talking about talents. And we're going to get into defining what a talent is, some as yours truly, and I'm sure I could speak for Wardell. We would say God-given because we realize that a talent is something that you had nothing to do with. It's a gift. And whether you recognize it from a spiritual vantage point or not, the same remains the same, that it's a gift. It's something you innately know how to do. Now, you develop the talent or you put it in the sand. But we're talking about talents, and we're asking, do you value those talents or do you tend to devalue that talent in comparison to others? Really thought-provoking, particularly the times. I'm always concerned about post-COVID because we're all going through different levels of stress. And many times during these times, we have to rekindle or go back to the core of who we are. And that core is our talent. What do we really know how to do? And so I think it's appropriate for us to examine all of the ramifications and details of talent and whether we appreciate it or do we throw it away or do we compare with others and prohibit ourselves from using those talents. So let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Do we value our talents or do we divulge them in comparison to others? Let's get going with this, man. I know that as far as my gift that I have received, and it's a gift, I acknowledge it, and I run full steam ahead with it, because to me, my gift, and I probably wasn't thinking this way when I was younger, but I was acting this way. But my gift is between me and God. And so I am just running full steam ahead. It's like someone, like, you know how you take a whip and you hit a horse on the butt and they take off running? That's how I was when I recognized that, you know, drums is going to be my thing. And I saw the Jackson 5 on TV as a little kid. And I said, that's what I want to do. Once I recognized that and put everything into motion, it was on. I was going after it. And I remember not thinking, I was just happy that other people were feeling the same way. You know, other musicians felt like they, you know, and so in Philadelphia, there was so much competitiveness. There's so many musicians that were, you know, just going after it and going after it. And there was a little bit of, you know, like, so, you know, it's nice to hear if someone likes the way you play, but it didn't matter if they did or not. It was, that's who I was, and that's what I was going to
and
do.
And validation is important. It's funny, as you take a step back and reminisce, I remember I was a kid, and Jackson's, Michael and I are same age as you. You know, Michael was 10. I was 10 years old. Michael was in a band. I was in a band called The Tempting Soul. And I didn't really like Michael at that time much. I thought he was in my limelight. It's so funny. Every time the girls went crazy about Michael, I was like, ah, he's okay. But I remember going to the movies, and it was a pivotal point in my life where I went to see To Sir With Love, because there were few movies then for young people. There was To Sir With Love, and then later on came West Side Story, which they revisited with the Sharks and the Jets, and it was real conflict, and so many people have taken a springboard from that film, even to today's dance films. But mine was To Sir With Love, you know, with Sidney Poitier and him being a teacher in a British school and how he affected young people. And when I came home, I was singing the song that Lulu sang, those schoolboy games or girl games, and you've taken me from the cradles to perfume. You know, it was a pivotal song. And so when I first started to sing it, my sister said to me, oh, boys can't sing. And as I continued and ensued singing, she says, wow, you can really sing well. And she acknowledged me. And my sister didn't really care much for me. She was my oldest sister. I was in her hair, stay out of my room. You know the civil rivalry. But she co-signed me, and I was in shock. I was like, Sharon complimented me? Oh, my God. She says, first time I heard that word, you are really talented. Oh, my God. You sing better than a girl. You sound like Smokey Robinson. And from that day forward, bro, I had an inkling that I had something a little special, a feather in my cap. And like you, I haven't stopped running. To this day, I'm 63, still writing, still producing, still teaching voice and what have you, besides other things. So talent really defines us, and it carries through our lives like a tapestry. What a beautiful gift.
Yes. Now, let me tell, so what is it that you find that people tend to have a problem with when it comes down to having talent? What is getting in some people's way?
Well, a substrate of talent is when we allow doubt to creep in. Doubt is a terrible, terrible assailant. When doubt comes into your mind and you start to doubt your talent, then when somebody else is competitive, or instead of saying, hey, guy, I really appreciate your drumming, or man, wow, I love that little lick you did, you become insulted. You become, oh, well, who does he think he is? Or he doesn't like my playing very much, because you doubt yourself. You're looking for validation from someone that you ought not, because if you get back to the core, it's a gift. You know, how many of us received a gift and we can't wait to pull the wrappings off because we don't know what's inside?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we open it, we either appreciate the gift or we go, oh, man, that's not what I was looking for. And so gifts are very similar. If doubt creeps in, or animosity, if we're deflected by someone else's achievements and we are really not complimentary to them, all of these things can erode our talent.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So excuse me. So, wow. Sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, just drinking some water here. Went down the wrong pipe, I guess. So I want to ask, like, there are people out there that are going to be very insecure. They are naturally, as human beings, we are naturally insecure. This goes back to what we were talking about last week, that we would, you know, we tend to put others down to lift ourselves up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so because we are naturally insecure, if someone comes along and say, you know, yeah, you okay. You're like you're nothing special. They're implying, yeah, you're okay. Yeah, yeah. And then they look around and keep on moving. I mean, for a person that is insecure a little bit, that really that'd be hard on them. So how do a person that's being challenged like that, because I'm quite sure there's a lot of us out there that are insecure, and then when you get bumped like that by a person's negativity on your gift, how do you like reset and make sure that you don't allow that person to push you down or make you feel worse than, you know, or even more insecure is what I'm trying to say.
Well,
what is it? How do we protect ourselves?
Humility comes into play. I remember my grandmother used to say, when somebody insults you, let it roll off your back like a duck's butt. And a duck has an interesting geometry about their physical nature. If you ever seen a duck in the pond, water slides right off of them, you see. And so you have to be humble. You have to have a fair assessment and a realistic appreciation for the gift that you have. And we're all at different levels. You know, you might be a lock it in the pocket kind of drummer, right? And another guy might have all these tasty little licks, but he can't hold a fort down. So, you know, there's different gifts in men. Even the scriptures point that out. All of us are not endowed with everything. That's why we're all imperfect. We fall short. So I think we have to have a fair assessment of who we are. We have to be willing, as we've mentioned in previous conversations, we have to agree to disagree and say, hell, that's okay. I appreciate that, your comment. And you know what? I'm going to work harder at it. So humility, a fair assessment of where you're at in that stream of time. Now, if it's unrealistic and you just say, I'm just the best ever, well, that's unrealistic, I would say, in my humble opinion. Humility and the ability to have a fair assessment, I believe, is the building blocks to appreciate the natural talent that you've been given. Now, whether or not you're going to amplify it, you're going to study it. I know Wardell with drumming. I have a good friend of mine who's a drummer. He's in Georgia. And the first time I've seen a guy literally re-chart music with drum, I was impressed with that more so than anything else. I just couldn't understand how in the heck could he read some little slants and dots and dashes on a piece of paper and know where to paradiddle and when to kick it? And it was beyond my scope of ability.
Right, right.
But that's a talent, dude. Wow.
You know, that's really
a talent.
So I have a question. I'm giving it to you earlier in the show. It says, is my biggest competitor myself?
It should be. I know for me, I'm as you know Wardell, on the creative process, when I'm recording and I'm zoning in on a phrase, man, I'll think about that phrase 9 ways to Sunday, and my thought process is, can I do it better? Can I do it with more enthusiasm? Can I evoke the emotion? If I'm talking about love, does it shine through the speakers that I'm in love? If it's melancholy, does it sound sad? If it's empathy, do I feel the empathy? So yeah, I become my biggest critic. And once I get past me, and once I put it out there, I'll be honest with you, you could basically say anything you want. I've already baked the cake, and it's on the table. You don't like chocolate layer cake? What can I tell you?
Right. So you challenge yourself to be your best, right? To do your best.
Absolutely. I think that's important for me.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that for some reason don't have that kind of drive, and they don't understand why. They want to, but for some reason, do you think that has to do with lack of passion?
Passion is definitely a component, culture. I know within my family, I could stand on my head. I could cartwheel across the living room. My parents, particularly my dad, was not complimentary on anything that I got pictures of me, bro, when I was in Cub Scouts, and I was hugging my father. He was pulling away. But I realized much later on, within his past, his dad died when he was 10. His mother was really at odds with him because he was trying to be the man of the house. So within his culture, he never really learned to love. And what I tried to do in my life was to do the exact opposite. I used to hug my kids, kiss my kids. When they were being given birth, the doctor had to push my head out the way and say, excuse me, can I deliver your child first? So it does have some to do with culture, the way you were raised. Were your parents loving? Were they complimentary? And sometimes that could have an adverse effect. For me, my sister is actually a psychologist, and the one compliment that she always gives me, she said, you know, Dad tried to break you down. He really tried to break your spirit, whether he realized it or not. She said, but you never let that happen. You always was upbeat. You was always positive. So maybe that was a gift too. So culture, sometimes we have to go back and really look at the way we were raised. And sometimes we can undo it. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we need professional help. But we have to go back to our humble beginnings and look at the nurturing quality of when we first realized that we had this talent. And sometimes people go to counseling for years to figure that out. So is it important? I believe so.
Let me just share this with you. I'll get to another question from the listeners. But I just want to share this story with you because it really has something to do with what you're saying here. It says, do we value our talents or do we devalue them in comparison to others? And so, you know, that part, that second part, first of all, I valued my talent, right? And so I believe that I told you guys many times, I always wanted to be the best drummer in Philadelphia. That was my goal, was to be the best drummer in Philadelphia. And so best jazz drummer in Philadelphia, because I was into jazz as a teenager. And so then I remember going down the street around the corner to see this girl, right? She was the girl that I liked. She had my attention. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go over there and see Saberta. And so I would start walking down the street and then went over to her house. Don't forget, I was a teenager. I was only like 15 or something. And I got to her house and she would, you know, I knock on the door and then she'd come out and she'd sit on the steps with me and we just sit there and start talking and stuff. And I'm blushing. I'm happy. I'm sitting down with this girl that I think is so cute. Right. And I have so much excitement about her. And she knows that I'm really into her. And then all of a sudden I hear the drummer. His name was Cornell. His name is, sorry, my dog got excited about my conversation. So his name is Cornell Rochester, drummer, great, great drummer. And all of a sudden he starts practicing. I'm like, whoa. And so so my whole thing with her was getting to the point, it was getting uncomfortable. And I said, I have to go. And she says, why? I said, I have to go practice. And she said, are you serious? And I said, yes. And so it was, and so I got up and I went home and I started practicing. So it was because of him practicing that I don't know if I was devaluing my gifts, but all I knew is that if I wanted to be the best, I can't let this guy keep practicing and I'm not. Is that the same as, you know, I mean, am I devaluing
my gift?
No,
I disagree with that. I think you valued your talent enough to, you know, if you don't put money in the bank, you can't withdraw. And within your talent pool, you have to deposit time and energy and sweat equity to develop your talent. And I think you definitely expressed that in your scenario, because you went home and said, hey, I better get back to work. So it didn't devalue. He actually gave you the admonition to work harder. That was a positive. Because you know what? I've done the same thing. I know when I was really, really going after singing and I first heard Bobby DeBarge from Switch, I hung my hat up. I said, oh, my God. I thought I had the prettiest tenor in the world because nobody could touch me. They said I was the second coming of Smokey Robinson, and I just figured, man, I have reached the pinnacle. Until I heard DeBarge from Switch.
And
they hit that note. I was so through. I started practicing scales and chromatic scales, and because they had the DeBarge family, even L. DeBarge, they have riffs that are just uniquely theirs.
And so it
forged something inside of me that said, do your homework. You ain't the best. These guys are better than you. You better get on your game plan.
Right. So you're not devaluing who, you know, your gift. You are basically trying to
enhance it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so hold on, let me get to a couple questions here. Something got deleted here. Okay, this one here says, is the perfectionist in me my friend or my enemy?
I would teeter closer to enemy because I recently had a dear loved one say to me that they were perfectionists. And the way I approached it was this way. I said, do you know that the creator of the universe is not a perfectionist? To say you're a perfectionist, you set yourself up for failure because what you're saying inadvertently, whether you realize it or not, is that I'm perfect. Now, God could say he's perfect because he is perfect, but yet he condescends to us. And he never puts an unduly amount of pressure on us. And so when you say I'm a perfectionist, what you're saying inadvertently is that you're perfect. And you put this undue pressure on yourself. And sometimes it's because we really don't understand what we're saying when we say that word. But I think a better way would be to say, you know what? I am definitely concerned on how people receive my talent. I really like yourself. I know I have to work harder at my chops. But to put this utopian view of yourself as being a perfectionist, which ideologically means you're perfect, and none of us are perfect. And I think by being imperfect, by saying, you know, I'm not all that, employing humility is what propels us to be better. Because she said, I'm going to do the very best I can. In my humble opinion, this is the new me, and I'm working, striving harder to be the better, new improved me, you know, Phoenix 2.0.
Amen. I love it. Great, great, great response. Next question from the listeners is, can I really improve if I am going to accept my shortcomings? Can I really improve if I am going to accept my shortcomings?
Just that comment alone says you've already improved your mental frame and reference. You know, when you can say I need to improve or can I improve, it shows humility. When you say to yourself, you know, I'm ambivalent. I'm not sure if I can, but I'm willing to try. Secondarily is another good trait because when you're humble, like I'm sure, bro, when you're behind your set and you're kicking a beat and you lose the beat or your stick flies out your hand because maybe you didn't hold it hard enough, and you go, oh, man, you pick it back up and you jump back in the rhythm again. You jump back on the horse again. You accept your imperfections and you move on. So I'm proud of that comment. I think it demonstrates that the listener is humble, you know, when you can, not doubt, though, that's a different angle. But when you say, you know, can I, am I humble? Yeah. And you most certainly can. So keep up the good work.
Okay. So I'm just going to, I just want to respond to what you just said about the drums. You know, I love talking about that. And so losing this part to me is really important because losing my drumsticks or drumstick as I'm playing is part of the gig. I expect that to happen That's why I have a bag of sticks on my drum.
I love it.
Right? And so when the stick goes out, see, so basically when we are going after something, there's going to be obstacles. There are going to be people that are better than us. There are going to be people that put us down or are insecure, jealous of us. There are going to be all kind of obstacles in the way. So if you prepare yourself in advance so that when these things do happen, see, it's not a problem because you already knew it was coming. Right?
That's key. Prepare in advance.
Exactly. It's called being proactive. And so I'm proactive in the sense that I have a whole – I don't just have the two sticks I'm playing with. I have probably 20 sticks sitting there just in case I drop my drumstick 20 times. I'm not going to let this show – the show must go on, right? It must go on. And your own show must go on. And don't, you can't let people come in between or any, you know, especially somebody that thinks or if you feel that this person is so important and they weren't into you, you can't let that person, that individual change who you are and change your outcome, because you
Absolutely.
Were designed for something specific, and he may not be a part, or she may not be a part of that painting. And so, but in your own mind, you think this person knows everything. No, they don't. No, they don't. Just because they're good, you don't know, and you think they're good, it don't mean that they have power over you. You can't allow for people to have power over you. You have
that's
the
true.
Power from within, right? And that's between you and your Heavenly Father, right? The power is within. Go ahead.
I appreciate your comment because, you know, I know you're a very humble guy, and I appreciate the fact that your sense of paredness. You know, sometimes, you know, a word that comes to mind is if you're cocky and you've got this unrealistic view of yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's unrealistic because you're all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
And you think nothing can knock you off your throne. That in itself is lacking humility, which prohibits the ability to enhance your imperfections. So having a sense of preparedness, because in your mind, in your heart, the show must go on. And so you're not going to stop. I don't know how many times I've gone up and I forgot the whole verse of my own song. But I'm, you know, one of the gifts that I've been given, so I've been told, is the gift of speech. And so I just blase around it extemporaneously, man.
I know.
To the audience.
That always gets to me. Like, how do these singers remember the words to all these songs that they're singing? I'm like, that's just a lot of words.
Yeah, man. Well, what about dancers, man? What about dancers? You know,
it's one thing when you dance by yourself. Yeah, when you dance by yourself, it's fine. But when you dance doing choreography with a whole bunch of other people, it's like,
that's crazy.
Oh, it's obvious if you don't remember the move. You'll be sitting on the side watching.
It's all about what you love. When you love something, when mm-hmm. you really love something, you embrace it, you
right.
cultivate it, you don't ignore it, you water it, you tend
right.
to
right.
your garden of creativity.
Yeah.
You know, many times yeah. I'm talking to people or I'll go to a movie, bro, and, you know, my ex-wife used to get so annoyed at me. She said, we saw that movie already. I said, no, I didn't. She said, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Because I was lost in space when I was watching the movie. My brain took a mental creative excursion to somewhere far, far away.
I was there, but I wasn't, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't. So.
Yeah. So, okay.
Preparedness, so far we have, you know, a sense of humility, the unwillingness to allow somebody or to empower them mm-hmm. to take away your power. This is, you know, there's no two leaves on the same tree alike. There's no two snowflakes that fall that are alike. You know, we are uniquely who we are and what we're meant to be. We either accept that challenge, we choose to accept it, and try to perfect it, not as a perfectionist, but as a person with humility, a person who is charged with the responsibility to take that gift and polish it. Man, mm-hmm. when we have that frame of reference,
right.
I believe then and only then can we graduate to the next level.
Amen. I love it. Take responsibility for your gift. Question. Another question from the listeners. Hold on. Okay. Is frustration the enemy of passion? So will my frustration stop me achieving? Once again, is frustration the enemy of passion? So will my frustration stop me achieving?
The way I look at that is frustration is a bump or a wrinkle in the road. You could either choose to trip on it, but if you trip on it, get back up. Nobody trips and falls and stays there. They get back up, they dust themselves off. It's an indication that something needs to be worked out, ironed out. I know many times I've been in the studio with Chaka Khan. I've been in there with Aretha Franklin. I've been in there with Felipe Wynn. And one of the things that I noticed, particularly with Chaka Khan, like she would be given a melody, like la 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 li 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 lo 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 lo. She would go la 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 li 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 la la la. No, la 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 li 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 lo 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 lo. She would repeat it to make sure she had a mental reference of what the producer was giving her. And then once she traced that melody in her mind, she jumped off the cliff with it and she flew to the heavens. She soared. My point? Frustration is an indication that something needs to be worked out. And if you pay attention to the wrinkles, then you can iron them. But if you put on a wrinkled shirt and somebody says, did you press that shirt? Yeah. Well, why has it got so many wrinkles? You didn't pay attention to the wrinkles. To me, that's what a frustration is. It's a wrinkle. And it requires your attention. And so it could be your blessing or it could be a curse. It depends on your perspective. If you allow it to diminish your spirit, or if you just, like if you're roller skating and you trip and you fall and you go, oh, man, I'm tired of hitting the ground. Well, don't hit the ground no more. Get back up, dust yourself off, and say, okay, I'm not going to go as fast as that guy is going around the ring. Let me take my time. Let me stay to the outskirts. Let me hold onto the wall. Let me catch my rhythm. But if you allow frustration to diminish your spirit as opposed to indicating that something is not worked out, then and only then can frustration be your enemy. And that's just my humble opinion.
All right. So then as, you know, we are so blessed that we, you know, get a lot of questions from the listeners, mm-hmm. And we know that Phoenix adores you guys sending in the questions. It really blesses his heart. So today we got a lot of questions, and we are so grateful. So this next question is, if my superpower is my talent, is my strength my potential? If my superpower, I'm sorry, you want me to read it again?
Yes, please.
If my superpower is my talent, is my strength my potential?
Absolutely. I think they work in tandem. You know, when you know you're a Ferrari, you're not a Corvette. You're both race cars. But your super talent, to me, the key is it's yours. You know, another man has what he has, but you have, it's yours. So own it, wear it, control it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's your superpower. But first you got to learn to fly with it. If you watch any of these, you know, these Marvel movies, you know, the guy first gets the talent like the Green Hornet. He tries to fly. He flies into the wall. He doesn't quite have it yet, but he constantly works at it. And then next minute, boom, man, he's flying like a champ. Look at Iron Man, one of my favorites, superhero, you know, extended alter egos. You know, he first puts it together and he tears up his workshop, but then he gets it together. And then the next minute, you know, the Air Force is like, what was that?
What just happened?
Power. Own it. Control it. It's yours.
Yeah. Amen. Wow, that was good. I like that, bro. Own it. Own it. You know, so, I mean, ultimately, I mean, you know, there's the fact that we're talking about this is really a blessing to me, because it just reminds me of my history, and it reminds me of my walk as a young man. And when I can go back and look at all the stuff that I went through as a young man, I realized that it was, if I just think about it like this, I don't know if it was me with the sword, and I was going through the jungle and just chopping my way through until I got to the other side, or if it was just prayers that my parents were praying for me that their son would be successful in his endeavors, or if it was, you know, my gifts that God has given me, that I just got out there and I just went for it and I pushed it. But I believe it was a combination of all of those things. And I think that, you know, if anyone is young that's listening to this, you need to know that you know, if you've been blessed with the gift, and more than likely you have, then you have to do like Phoenix says and own it. Own it. And go for it. Just own it. And once you own it, you're going to go for it anyway, because you can't own it and hold it in. It's got to come out. It's got to be shared. And God didn't give it to you.
You know, I was thinking it's like your favorite pair of jeans. You know, I've been
favorite
working
pair
very
of jeans?
Hard. My favorite pair of jeans, yeah. I've been working very hard, as you know, at my weight loss. And when I first met my wife, I was wearing a size 40, and it was cutting off my circulation. I had to, like, hold my stomach in to button it up. I'm currently today, less than 6 months later, wearing 32 slim jeans, and I worked hard to get there. And so you have to wear it like you own it. You know, if you're wearing somebody else's jeans and it doesn't fit, put it back. It's not yours. But that favorite pair of jeans that you put on, you're like, oh, man, those are my favorite jeans. They just hug me in all the right places. When I walk, I have this feeling of confidence. That's my superpower. You know, you have to own it and wear it like you mean it. You have to take ownership. You have to take pride in what was given you. Not overly, but something where you just say to yourself, you know, this is me. This is a reflection of who I am. And I always go back to being post-COVID, because I think we're at a time where most of us are coming out of the house, we're opening up the windows, we're breathing in the air, even though it's not over, but we're starting to say, okay, what am I going to do now? Where am I at now in this stream of time? And I think talent is a great start, because even if you're looking to go into business or an online business, it's always recommended by the professionals, don't go into a business that you know nothing about. You know, go into a business that you have a knowledge base of. And so if that happens to be your talent pool, then you can speak about something that you're about. But if you go into something, you go into technology just because everybody else is doing it, but you don't even own a smartphone. I mean, you're still on rotary dial-up. Don't do it, in my humble opinion. That's not your wheelhouse. You know, we're in a time where we really need self-analysis in order to survive. There's a lot of people that just can't get jobs right now. You know, but maybe your talent was arts and crafts. Maybe you put together a website showing people how they can make certain ornaments or things. That might be your gift. And if you do that, chances are you will be successful, because it's your passion.
Yes. Well said. Okay, so you have another question. You, Phoenix, have another question.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, I'm always reading them to you, so. And you do a great job answering them. So here we go. So should I stay in the moment, my talent, rather than focusing on the expectation of it. Should I stay in the moment with my talent rather than focusing on the expectation of it? I have a response.
You know, if you've ever watched a child run, I love to watch children play in the playground. Have you ever watched a child run and you're so busy looking at their feet running that they trip and they fall? Have you ever seen that? They're running, but they're looking at their feet.
They can't believe those little things are moving like that.
Yeah. And they wind up tripping because they're not watching where they're going.
Right.
I had the unique privilege of watching a coach instruct a runner and an athlete who went on to become an Olympic athlete how to run. And my takeaway was I was never a big runner. I mean, I could run long distance and I had good wind. But the instructor went on to very specifically talk about if you're going to run forward, everything that you're doing should go forward. Your neck should be moving forward. Your hands should be moving in the locomotion forward, not side to side. Your hips should not be swaying in the wind like a graceful horse or a gazelle. Everything that they're doing is moving in a forward motion. So why do I say that? I say that because, as the commenter made, if you're worrying about the expectation of what you're doing, you're losing out on the prize. Keep your focus ahead. Move forward. Develop that talent. But sometimes it can be counterproductive, in my opinion, when you're focusing on all these extemporaneous things that will come in time. Focus on the job at hand, the talent that's been given, because it's yours. We've been saying wear it, own it, control it now, and take the necessary steps to perfect it, not from a perfectionist standpoint, but with a realistic goal in mind. Then I believe you'll be successful. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I love the analogy of the kid running, looking at that. I can't get past because that
it's
is so
cute.
It's so cute. They're so excited that things are actually. See, this is the thing. We can do it, right? But we sometimes don't think we can. And so when we're doing it, we're like, oh, my God, I'm doing it. And it's like the child looking down. Oh, my God. I told my feet to run, and they ran.
And then they run into a tree, and they get a boo-boo, you know.
And start crying.
And secretly, Dad is dying inside. He wants to laugh. He's like, you all right, son? You know, my son used to do it.
Job well done.
My son loved Batman. He was a Batman freak. We had to get him Batman sheets, and he had this Batman toy we had to go to bed with. He couldn't find it. He'd have a conniption fit. But when he would run with his arms, you know, the original 1960s Batman, the arms would go side to side when they would run, you know. It was ridiculous. It wasn't the Baywatch thing. It was the arms going side to side. It was really looking ridiculous. But he was always running, looking at his feet, and I said, Paris, stop looking at your feet and look where you're going. Boom.
Right.
He tripped and fell.
Right.
I was like, are you all right, son? But I'm dying inside. I knew that was going to happen. It's counterproductive.
You know, when I was a little kid, I was in the third grade, and I was so into Batman, too. And so I had my coat on, and I had my friend button up my coat in the front.
Oh, man.
My arms were on the inside of the coat and not in the arm part, right? It was on the inside of the coat. And so I'm running and just feeling like Batman and running. And so then I went into the boys' bathroom, and I was running. And I slipped and fell face forward and hit my face and broke my teeth. Oh, my God. I didn't have hands to catch me.
Yeah, because your hands were locked up.
They were locked up in the cage. But I was so excited. I was just so excited. But why did I have to go in there on the concrete, man? Why didn't I fall on the wood or the carpet? Gee. But anyway, that was an experience that I never forgot. So when you said Batman, I was thinking, don't talk about Batman. I had bad experience. But I did like the arms flapping back and forth like your son. The arms were flapping back and forth. That was my cape.
It looked cool.
Yeah.
It looked cool, but when I listened to the coach, and he made so much perfect sense. Even Bruce Lee, I was a fan of his, and, you know, the Tao Te Ching, you know, the way of the intercepting fist. And his teachings was in tandem with the coach, because his thing was, why block and step back when you can block and move forward? You know, everything Jeet Kune Do was in translation, the way of the intercepting fist. And so it had to do with forward motion. And he said, you know, like a tiger. You know, everybody talks about a lion, but a tiger is an amazing animal because when he jumps up on his hind legs, one thing about a tiger, he doesn't step back. The tiger styles within the martial arts, he moves forward. Mm. And man, when he does, look out, clear the path.
Watch out.
Because with just one swipe of his paw, he can knock you silly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, keeping a forward motion, you know, build upon your experiences, learn from them, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get focused. Because we need that now, friends, more so than ever before. We really need to execute the talent that's been given. I might say God-given, but maybe that might not be your focal point. You know, you just might feel it's just something that you have, that you're endowed with. You have the right to your own circumstance. But however you deem to take it, it belongs to you. Own it.
There you go. Last question of the night from the listeners. And we got 8 minutes left, so here we go. Do we lack self-confidence because of social media?
Do we say that lack, again?
Do we lack, this is from the listener, in the UK, actually, it's coming from the UK. Do we lack self-confidence because of social media?
I think it has had a huge impact because, unfortunately, sometimes, even little girls, I always think of little girls, you know, kindergarten, little girls are on Instagram showing the makeup that they put on before they go to school. Come on. You know, are we teaching these little ones an unrealistic view of their image instead of allowing them to be a little girl with one pigtail up, one pigtail down? So we're constantly being overly, what is the word I'm looking for, stimulated in this utopian world that the internet projects. People that go in, and I've seen this particular app that can give you muscles, make it look like you have a six-pack, can lengthen your arms, your torso, your neck, your shoulders, your nose. It can have an impact because then when you look at it and you're looking at this distorted, unrealistic view, you say, shoot, I'm in the gym 6 days a week. I don't look like that. So can it affect you? Can it affect your goals? Yeah. So we have to take some of the things in which we're overstimulated with a grain of salt. And we have to look at, what can I bring to the table? What do I have that's specifically mine? Genetically, mentally, metaphysically, whatever that chemistry is, concentrate on you. And don't allow the internet to interfere with a warped sense of what is real and what is not real.
Amen, brother. All right, we have a caller calling in.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Who do we have?
Tamara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
how
okay.
Are you? Good, good.
I'm doing good.
All right, so Phoenix, you want to ask Phoenix a question?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I was wondering if you think that Facebook and Instagram and all these sites now make difference in finding someone's true talent, or do you think that at this time, like, people have to keep scrolling, do they just lose it? Do they not see it because it's so overwhelming and there's so much?
I think it is overwhelming. I think, you know, we're overstimulated. You know, I recently went to the movies and I saw Venom, and I love the Marvel thing. I really do. But I was thinking, I said, the talent pool is getting to the point of so much special effects. Where's the story? I got lost. I went to college, but I got lost. I'm overstimulated. I'm like, what? I couldn't digest it. It's like giving a baby a steak and eggs. You know, right. We got to go to the soft. It's too much.
Mm.
So, yeah, I do believe we can become overstimulated. We can become overfrustrated. We can allow, if we allow these things to empower us, if we spend an inordinate amount of time in social media, now our phones tell us how long we've been on the phone, then maybe we might want to scale back. What do you think?
Right. Me? I think it is overwhelming. I wouldn't actually, I knew Wardell many years ago. He actually did my first demo. I actually wouldn't have found Wardell if not for social media, but I think it's very overwhelming, and you don't get to see, you know, you don't get to hear those arts because they do have the special effects and, you know, all those videos and they're putting lights and bells and whistles, and you don't hear what you would have heard years ago. You don't hear that music. You're just looking to see what the next thing is, and I think it's more visual than, you know, audio. And I think you're not really listening to the artist.
Wow.
Absolutely. And, you know, thanks for calling in because, first of all, it's always good to hear a human voice. We're living an age of everything is automated. I think sometimes
I
people hide behind, you know, but to hear your voice.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if, you know, do you send a comment on Facebook? I was like, and I'm like, no, I've got a phone. You know, I'm going to call and say hi. Yeah.
Well, you have a beautiful voice. It really rings a lot of empathy and warmth and concern. Nothing beats the human feel. So you're to be commended. You really are.
Thank you. And so do you. And you both have lovely voices, and it's so nice to hear real people talking. Other than, you know, I mean, the internet is great, but it's so automated, and, you know, and then you hear real people and you're like, wow.
There's nothing like the human experience. And let's not forget that. And, you know, life is what you make it. Life is what you put in, what you deposit. And there's so much to be ascertained by the tonal quality of your voice, you know, your empathy, your reasoning, the way you think. I think you exemplify today's modern women because you're taking a grain with the sand or the salt, or you're picking through the meat and the bones, and that's very intelligent on your part, very intelligent.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you
so
very
funny.
Much.
I think what was a week ago was the first time we talked in 20, 30 years.
Yeah,
how long?
Yeah, it was late '80s.
Late.
Not to give
anybody.
I was a teenager back then when I did my first demo. So I was
and when she told me, she called me and she was texting me at first, and I was like, okay. And then
I was like, it's Wardell.
She says, you did my first demo, and I was like, really? I was like, you know. And so for me, that's special to me if I, you know, someone did my first demo. So I put myself in her shoes and said, really? I can't believe it. So then I wanted to talk to her because of it.
She was the most upbeat, uplifting person. I mean, my sister was always very, you know, businessy. She worked at A&M, and she was, like, real businessy. And he was the nicest, most upbeat. You know, he's like, oh, it's okay. Like, I popped the microphone. I always remember that. Like, when I first sang, I was like, I didn't know what I'm doing, you know? And I was like, and he's like, oh, you just pop the mic. You know, it's like, but like right away, like I started learning, you know, with him. And I was like, this is like the greatest, most upbeat person. And so I found you. I'm like, hey.
That was good.
And
you know,
I just want to say something. You know, I've taught voice for many years. And the inflections in your voice, I used to tell my students all the time, there's different degrees of singing. But in the way you express yourself, your pitch, your power, your pace, your volume, your ability to crescendo and create these wavelengths in the way you speak, says so much about you. So continue. That's a learning point for maybe upcoming singers that have a tendency to be monochromatic. You know, you have these auto-tune things that are just keeping people on this same monolithic tone.
Ooh.
Change and flower your voice. It's so appreciative to hear that in your tone. I should have picked up that you were some kind of singer. It's in your voice. She sings enhanced though. They really do.
Yeah, she's a singer.
Yeah, well, actually, Wardell, when I had actually done the demo of Hands to Heaven by Breathe, I actually just put it up on Facebook, but it actually, I remember when you showed me how to go, like, up at the, you know, vocal range, and I remember I wasn't sure if I could, and you're like, yeah, you know, go like that. And I was like, this guy knows, like, everything, and I remember, like, being able to do this note that I didn't think I could. And I was like, wow, you know, and I was always thinking of how great you were and how, you know, you just made me always, I always sort of felt like I didn't get to talk to you for all the time, but I always sort of felt like almost like you're behind me whenever I would sing or something. I always felt like I had that support. And I guess it's so important to do that with people, you know, young people or, you know, anybody,
yes,
to give them that feeling that they can do it, you
that's
know?
Right.
Mentorship.
And that's, and that lets them express that talent.
Man, when she just said, I didn't think I could do it.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm getting goosebumps.
When she said,
really didn't. And I remember I was like, and then we were.
that made me think of that kid.
It back, and you were playing it back. And I actually had never heard myself sing until that. I mean, I sang, but I never heard like a demo myself. And when I heard that, I couldn't even believe it was me. And it was because, you know, of your help that I was able to express that.
Yeah. Well,
so,
that's
nice.
Well, amen. you're very welcome. And thank you. Thanks for calling in. And we are out of time now, but I am so grateful.
I didn't mean to take up all your time. But
No. This was great because you know, I love the timing of your call. It worked out perfectly. It helped us to end the show. And I'm Phoenix, I'm going to give you a moment to close out this segment. If there's anything that you want to share about our conversation today.
As I just look at everything that's been stated, own the gift that's been given you, nurture it. Don't allow anybody to take away your path or the trajectory in which you're moving forward. Never allow doubt or frustration. If doubt or frustration comes in, use it to your benefit. As Wardell said, go in and work on it. Become stronger. Become better. My grandma used to say, what doesn't break you will make you stronger.
She's right.
That's right. Well, thank you guys. Really appreciate it. And sweetheart, thank you for calling in. That was beautiful. We appreciate
Thank
you very
you.
Much. And we're going to get going, get ready for Mix It Up on Solar Records Radio with Don Fleming. We'll catch you guys next time. Phoenix, talk to you later, my brother.
All
bye,
right,
sweetheart. Love you. Thank you, guys. To the beat. Don't we enjoy good music like that? Man, oh man, I love it. Just got paid. Anyway, thanks to our brother Phoenix. Oh man, it was so cool, man. And just everybody that participated, the young lady that called in, my beautiful friend that I produced when she was just a child. And it was just shocking. You know, when she even called me last week, I think it was, and I was like, I'm talking to her, and she's so sweet, and you can hear how sweet she is, and it's just a blessing to, you know, because we have to be careful, like what we do, because it comes back, right? And so thank God I was good to her, because if she came back and said, you were yelling at me all the time, I would feel like crap. So I'm just so glad she called in and shared her thoughts as well. But anyway, that was great show. Thanks, my brother Phoenix, for your wisdom, and thanks to all the listeners for your amazing, absolutely amazing questions and stuff. And so we're going to mix it up, right? We're going to mix it up and have a good time here on Solar Records Radio for the next 50 minutes here. So I hope you guys are good. We just kind of like just mix things up. We play a mixture of everything that we do throughout the week. So it's just a real kind of chill time where we're just playing everything. And we're combining old school, new school, you know, jazz, dance music, you know, disco. You'll hear it all. Praise and worship. You'll hear it all, right? So in the next 50 minutes. So thanks for tuning in. I'm going to now play a song by my friends. These are my friends from way back in the day. And this song was big overseas. This is Crystal on Solar Records Radio. After the Dance.
Yeah. for the rest of my life. I'm so in love. I know that it's real. I know it's real by the way that I feel. 'Cause when you fall in love, there's a feeling you get way down deep in your heart. I'd like to thank the Lord up above for sending me somebody I truly love. And it's you and me together, together forever. Let no wall divide us. Let our love guide us. I found somebody that I can depend on to lift me up when I'm down. I can recall the day that we met. A day that I'll never forget. And when I first saw you, I said to myself, I've got to know your name. I wrote this song for someone I love. There is that someone who I'm thinking of. And it's you and me together. Together forever. Let nothing separate us. They all come between us. It's you and me together. Together forever. Let no walls divide us. Let's stay together.
LJ Reynolds right there, you and me together forever. Man, oh man, Don, I hear a clicking noise. What's up, Mr. Fleming?
Man, I am turning. I am trying to turn. what's going on, man?
He's in his car, y'all. He's working in the car. What's happening, Mr. Fleming? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm good. Just had a great talk show, man. It was great. And now we just mixed it up with Don Fleming and Wardell Potts. Glad you could show up. How you been, man? You been good? I haven't talked to you in quite a few days. All good? All good?
Man, I've just been kind of in my own world. So trying to get some things done and some businesses set up and, well, some ventures set up and things. And just trying to... Man, just trying to live, man. I know you've been busy, so I didn't want to bother you.
It's all good, man. I just been, just kind of doing a lot of crazy little things around here, just trying to get organized and get ready for the winter. Pulled out my generator because I was like, you know what? I haven't ran this generator since last year when it didn't work.
Right.
It was brand new. I took it out the box after 6 months and set it up because it was freezing and we lost all the power. That's when we had that snowstorm and we had no water, no power, nothing. We had nothing. And I pulled the generator out the box and it didn't work. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? It's brand new. And then I take it to the shop a few days later, and they can't find anything wrong with it. It's just running away. But for me,
right.
when it was running, it was there. It was the gasoline was coming out of it. So I was like, I'm not going to let that thing run. It's going to blow up. And so when I took it to them, they couldn't find it. So it's just kind of sad. All right, thanks, Greg.
Are you getting a new generator?
Yes. No. They can't do anything wrong with it. So I had the same generator, and so I just pulled it out, and I said I got to make sure everything's working, and I couldn't get it started.
Oh, okay.
You know, you only use the thing once a year, and it's like, oh, my God. So now it's sitting there, and I got to figure out how to get it to run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
first world problems.
It's always something. But anyway, man, music is good. Everything's good. So you've been good. You doing okay? How's your wife?
I'm good, man. I am good. Just kind of maintaining right now. Just letting everyone know I am. My wife is. Went to tend to her family, and I've been living the bachelor life, but she came home last week for about a week to go back to take care of her family affairs and everything. So it's just, you know, it's been weird, but we're adjusting. I mean, we're doing okay. So
awesome.
I am, man. Yeah, but yeah, we're doing great, man.
All right, good. Well, we're going to get back to this music, man. We're going to keep mixing it up because we have a short time. We only got 37 minutes left. The show went over a little bit, but it was so good. And we had this beautiful long-lost friend called in, and she shared, you know, her story about me and had some good questions for Phoenix. So it was great. We had a wonderful time. So I want to this is a young man – out of the UK by the name of Tony. I think it's Morella. I can't see it. But anyway, we've been trying to get Tony on here, interview him. We did have him come on one time, but the reception was so bad where he was that we had to cancel that one out. And I had to get back on top of that and make sure we get him in here because he's very talented. And Greg found this guy, and he's there it is right there, Morelli. There he is, Morelli. So Tony Morelli, or if that's how you say it, Morelle. So anyway. So we're going to get Tony on, and we're going to have a good time with him, chop it up with him, and hopefully I pronounced it right now. And so we get back, and thank you all for listening and tuning in to Solar Rexus Radio. As today we're just mixing it up. Oh, what's happening tomorrow, Don? Are you still there, Don? You kind of quiet in the background.
I'm here. Got a little rain, so if you hear any background I'm in the rain.
Yeah,
but tomorrow is Wednesday, so that means it is Indie Jazz Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. So make sure you guys tune in. Do we have a guest tomorrow?
Yes, so we will confirm that later today, and we will let you know.
Okay.
We're still waiting on a response. So we will confirm that today. And you guys, the flyer is up there anyway that Greg put up there, but. If tomorrow you see a face on the left-hand side, then you know we have an artist and you guys tune in. We normally do, so it's usually a great conversation. And so come tune in and hang out with us. She will be coming up right away. All right. Well, anyway, let's get the music going on Solar Records Radio.
Come on, you feel the way. Just to feel a little.
your girl.
Yeah, that's the lovely and talented Carlita Duran. Of course, Kismet Green is the album. That song, Travel Light, I love it. It's just so, it's so smooth. It's soothing, man. I love, especially like a lot of that new soul music that come out now, the R&B that comes out. I love that vibe. I love that spirit. And there's a lot of new artists, man, that I want to touch on hopefully in the future and get them on. I love this young lady right now by the name. Her name is Alex Isley. As a matter of fact, she's the daughter of Ernie Isley, and she has a beautiful vibe that's kind of similar. You know, it kind of goes along the lines of Miss Duran, Carlita Duran, and everything. So love, hopefully we get on the show. You never know. But I love that vibe of R&B, man. It's just so, it's so smooth and soothing. But, yeah, I love her album. It's a Press Play album. Shout out to Miss Carlita and Miss Carlita Duran and Kismet Green. I mean, it's really getting a lot of buzz. And I hear a lot of I heard the song on the Music Choice channel on my DirecTV. So a lot of people are getting hit to her music, man. And I'm so glad because I want her to receive her flowers while she's here.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what's the name of this song again?
Travel Light.
All right. Travel Light. Man, I love it. I enjoy it. And you have a good taste of that stuff. And I want to also just say, you know, we were just listening to Stanley Clark a little bit ago, and that's my homeboy. And that song, Lopsy Lou, it was just an amazing song. Amazing song in my life because I grew up playing that song, and it was kind of one of those songs that kind of guided me through my career and stuff. And so every time I hear it, it has a special place in my heart. And we started off with my boy Tony from overseas, and now we get ready to go to my boy Lucas from overseas. So we're going to keep this thing going like we're mixing it up today on Soul Light Records Radio. We got about another 15 minutes left in the show, and we're going to thank all of you guys who support Soul Light Records Radio. Tell a friend about Soul Light Records Radio. If you want to donate to Soul Light Records Radio, we have a Cash App. It's Cash App Soul Light Records Radio. You know, it's up to you. Or you go to WardellPottsJr.com and just, you know, there you go, WardellPottsJr.com, and then go down to the bottom of the page and you'll see. It'll be right there as well if you want to, you know, help us. We are indie station where we play what we play and we pay for everything. We try to make it happen and do the right thing for the artists and for ourselves and for the listeners, obviously. And so we thank you guys so much for just being there and being a part of this journey with us as we are a new station. We've been here going for a couple of years now, and we're just trying to do what we've got to do. We just found another DJ, a young lady from Nigeria, that may be coming on with us as well. So we're looking forward to chopping it up with her. And she's into the club thing. She's a clubber. So that's going to be on Saturdays. Well, she's going to come on Saturdays and do her show. So, but when we get it all locked up, we'll let you know. We'll keep you informed. You'll know, you know, a couple of weeks in advance for sure. And we thank you guys again, like I said. And so we want to keep this music going on so far. So come on, Lucas. Show us what you're working with, my brother. And we'll be back.
Crazy, this is unreal. I think I'm gonna sing this song.
Cameron right there on I'll Be Around. Had a wonderful time interviewing him. If you want to go back into the archives and check out GC Cameron, he's been around for a long time and have been with many groups and doing his thing. So check him out. He has a solo career going now. And so it is what it is. Everybody's indie artist, it seems. So, Don, why don't you go ahead on and close
this
out.
What's the use of labels? I mean, really. Nowadays, what is the use of so-called major labels? I mean, it's not to try to polish any artists anymore, because look at the content of the music out. You know, that's out on major labels. So, but again, that's my opinion. That's another topic down the road. What were you going to ask me?
That's a good point. And you know, Dynasty, we have our, you know, we put our stuff out ourselves. So,
Yeah,
we just do it. You know, we out on Dynasty Records. It is what it is. So,
Why do y'all call it Dynasty Records? No, I'm joking.
We have to flip our hats.
Right. But no, major labels nowadays, it's just, you know, I think, you know, when they look for the polishing, the branding, the marketing, you know, all of that, you know, and I think there is some validity to have major labels as far as the marketing and things like that. But right now, you know, because a lot of the music content that's out right now that's based on the labels, you know, the only thing I can say is the marketing, you know, because right now the quality of it is questionable. So, you know, and it does exacerbate, you know, the need of dialogue because people get so frustrated with the amount of content that's out. But again, I that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to kind of we could talk about this, you know, on Thursday or something like that, because I think it is something that a lot of people want to hear your perspective on it. Maybe my perspective, but definitely yours, definitely probably Linda's, you know, because or whoever we can get on the show this Thursday. But we'll save that topic for down the road, man. But I think it's important. And I think people will want to hear your viewpoints on it.
Sounds good to me. Well, it is time to get out of here, and we'll do what we have to do. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, man. So, tell us a little bit about the song that we're closing the show out with.
That's your boy. That's talk about your boy.
A little bit.
It's music from Babyface.
Yeah. And the name of the song is "I Love You, Baby."
I got you, babe.
All right, guys.
Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Greg, for helping out, brother. Love you. See you guys.